getting together with a brotherhood.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's about being, you know, telling jokes, making fun of each other, having some great laughs. That's what it's about. It's experiencing life with gasoline and motors.
Yeah, jokes about how our friend Brad has never met a hay bale that he doesn't like to run into and, you know, things like that. It's just it really a sense of camaraderie, which is awesome. You know, I enjoy hanging out and building the carts as much as I do the racing.
Warning. The 4x4 Canada podcast contains discussion about exploring mountains, camping beside lakes, and enjoying the outdoors. Guests also talk about jumping racetracks side by side, racing 1,000 horsepower rigs across mud pits, and jumping monster trucks over stacks of buses. None of this is for the faint of heart. The 4x4 Canada podcast is not responsible for bringing out your inner adrenaline junkie or making you want to get out there and explore the back roads from coast to coast. The 4x4 Canada podcast is not responsible for broken parts due to jumping your vehicle, hitting mud poles too hard, crossing deep streams, and doing other dumb shit. However, we will take credit for inspiring you to explore mountaintops, spend quality time outdoors with your friends, or meeting new like-minded people, and most importantly of all, following your dreams.
Okay. So thank you for joining us today on the 4x4 Canada podcast. I'm your host, Trisha.
And I'm your host, Wes.
I'm Curtis Mason.
And Emil Bonfilio.
So today we have Emil and Curtis with us with Testosterone Racing League. But first, before we begin, we want to get some housekeeping out of the way. So please, to our listeners and our followers, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. It's 4x4 Canada Podcast. And leave us a review, hit like, subscribe, and all that jazz. And thank you for listening.
Awesome. This is going to be pretty cool. I'm excited to talk to these guys about some redneck racing that they do. And hopefully, Trisha, if you want to give these boys an introduction, and we can hear all about it.
Okay, so today we have Emil again and Curtis from Oregon of the Testosterone Race. Thank you again for joining us today, guys, and being here on our podcast.
Thanks, it's our pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So let's start off where our listeners can find you guys. Example, like Instagram, Facebook, or website.
Yeah, so our main form of sharing the shenanigans that we do is on Instagram. And that Instagram handle is Testosterone Racing League. No underscores, no spaces, just Testosterone Racing League.
Now, I have a question because I'm really, really interested in this. Where did the idea even begin to start of the go-kart racing league?
So kind of started years ago, about 3 years ago. I bought some plans to build a go-kart with my 12-year-old son. And we started building it. And then we realized we need a roll cage. And then we started racing it and doing time trials. And this is great. But what if we had a second one? So then Lulu, we had to build the pink lady for Lulu. And then Jonah was not going to be left out, right? So we had to build a flame job. We call it Flamer. So we got the third one. And then my dad was a sprint car race driver. So we got to build one for Raj. So we built four cars. And I just had some good buddies, Emil being one of them. And we would host these race nights.
Yeah.
And it was great. But then it quickly realized, like, all right, it's great and fun, but people just wreck my stuff. They leave and then I got to break it. Then I got to fix it.
Right? Yeah. Right.
You build it, you race it, you break it, you repeat. But then back in February, it just caught fire. We just had the right dudes come out on a right night. Mm-hmm. And all the guys are like, the next morning was on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist, and they're trying to find them. And I'm telling the guys, like, hey, these aren't like you just go down to Walmart, right?
Yeah.
You don't pick these off the shelf. You find a hunk of metal and you make it into something, and you make it into something fun and special. And that's what it's done. And Emil is the marketing genius that has brought the funness of what we're doing to the online sphere.
Yeah.
And it's been an absolute joy.
That's awesome. That's where I saw you guys is online on Instagram. And I think I'm just, you know, scrolling through feeds and like an explorer page. And it came up that I was like, no way. Where is this? Is this here? Is this in Canada? Is it in the States? I need to find out more. So it looked pretty cool. And that's why I had to get you guys on the show.
So let's back up for a sec. And basically, these are little mini dune buggies that you guys are racing off-road on a closed circuit track, right? What is the basics behind some of these machines?
You want to take
that? Yeah, I mean, so most of these carts are, we call them kids carts because they're not giant buggies. They're not sand rails. These are carts that are mostly manufactured in the 80s, 90s, maybe the early 2000s. They're brands like Yerf Dog, Manco, Murray. Sometimes you get some Coleman's in there, but they're basically no longer than like 60 inches. They maybe have a 48-inch wide wheelbase at the max. And, you know, we're running these really small 212cc motors from Harbor Freight, which I don't know if you guys have Harbor Freight in Canada.
So we do have something like that called Prince's Auto. So
that's same, right. Same set. Yeah, exactly. And so we can pick up these engines for, you know, $130 when they're on sale with the coupon. And that's kind of how we get going. These carts, though, when we pick them up off of Facebook Marketplace or OfferUp or any of the online classifieds, none of them are in a condition where they're actually safe to race. So they take a little bit of work, some modification in order to get them to a place where we can do the kind of driving we do and roll them and get ourselves in trouble without getting hurt.
Great. So what size of tires are on these things? They're just like a little, almost like a lawnmower, ride on lawnmower size tires?
Yeah, 8-inch in the rear, 6-inch in the front. Go Power Sports is a great resource for us. I'm giving them a plug. They're not even paying for this, Emil. They should
be. No free ads, Curtis. No free ads.
None.
So they have a lot of the stuff that we buy, and they sell an 8-inch rear off-road tire that we use. It's an aggressive tread.
Ooh.
And then suspension is just like a little single shock kind of idea with a swing arm up off the axle and then chain up to the engine, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to depend based on the cart. Some of our carts have suspension. Some of them don't. I originally started off with a cart that did not have suspension and quickly realized I wanted a cart with suspension. It's just a little hard on your back. I'm not sure performance-wise if it makes a huge difference, but I think for comfort, it makes a nice touch. And yeah, they're usually just, like you said, single swing arms in the back, really small kind of A-arms in the front, you know, maybe 2 or 3 inches of travel. There's not a lot of travel, not a lot of articulation that needs to happen. You know, we, as of now, don't have any jumps that we're going off, so there's no need for a lot of suspension travel.
So are most of these rigs, are they fairly even in regards to the racing? Is there some performance mods you guys are doing of these that are helping out?
Yeah. So our rules are, well, let me just backtrack. I mean, why did we do this? Why did we start this? So, I mean, my dad was a race car driver, and I remember growing up hearing stories about guys mortgaging their homes to build their engine. And, they rolled their car. They need another 10 grand, you know, sprint car racing, Boise, Idaho, small town, right? Racing, but you need thousands of dollars to do it.
Right.
And oh, by the way, my dad lost a personal friend, right? Died in a car wreck. So, you know, expensive, very dangerous. And then every Saturday night, my dad was gone racing, right? And then Jill put a kibosh on that when I was 6. She goes, enough, right? It's just too much. So I was saying, wouldn't it be fun if we could do this for $1,000, $1,500 at most? Mm-hmm. We could do it on our own time scale. It's Oregon, so it rains like 99% of the time. Let's do it around the weather. We'll do it in my backyard. I live on acreage, and you know, this will be just a little side thing. So what's great about it, and I think what's caught fire with this Instagram, not only is Emil an amazing marketing genius at publishing great content, but I think it's relatable, Wes. Like it,
yep.
People can do this mm-hmm. with a family. They can do this if they have $1,000. They can do this with their buddies, create great memories. It's safe. It's fun. It's exciting. You go 35 miles an hour, which when you're 6 inches off the ground, feels like you're 200 miles an hour. So it's just enough fun. It gives you, like, that's why we came up, or Emil came up with testosterone recently. It just gives you enough testosterone feeling to just get you hooked.
Yeah.
And we keep it even by, hey, guys, we're going to keep it at these types of carts. Predator 212 motor, that's all you can do. You can do a stage one mod kit, but that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, if you blow up the motor, it's another $120 to $150 to get a new one. You're not remortgaging anything.
Yeah, I think you guys nailed it. You know, fun, inexpensive fun. I mean, that's the way to do it. I've been involved in racing for years. And like you say, you can have 20 grand into a motor and you can have coilover shocks and your suspension's worth another 20 grand. And, you know, you got a 10 grand rear diff and it all adds up, right? Whereas I think a lot of people, especially the way that the economy is these days, that just go out there and have some good old fun for cheap, right? So we've had, you know, classes, inexpensive classes in the off-road racing as well, where you just throw a quick cage in it and that's all you're allowed. You're not allowed to do all these modifications. And you'd be honest with you, that was a lot of times more fun than out there with $100,000 machines, because you're going in there, you're rubbing and you're bumping into friends, and it's just so much more fun. It's harder on the body, right? But it is, you know, I think budget racing is so much fun.
Well, I think too, when you look at, you know, when a lot of people think go-kart racing, they think kind of the K1 style, you know, you've got the racing suit on, you're in this little thing that, you know, is an inch off the ground with these small tires. And, you know, the element that we have of racing off-road really makes us exciting, because you get this thrill of sliding around these corners. And, you know, at Curtis's track, which is one of the tracks that we race on, it's called the Broken Oak Raceway. And there's this oak tree that we race around. And if you see, 90% of the rollover crashes that we have are right at this apex of this turn, because not only are you navigating the other drivers, but there's this root system that you got to deal with that causes the cart to just get a little off balance. And with these carts, you know, you get 15 degrees off camber, you better pull your arms in and hold on to your shoulders, because you're rolling over. And that's what really makes it exciting. And you know that you're not going to catch fire. You're not going to flip 15 times. Nobody's going to crash into you. You're not going to need a Hans device. You know, it's what makes it really fun. And I think one of the things that's most inspiring is that when you look at the comments on a lot of our videos, you see people saying, man, is there anything like this near me? I'd love to do something like this. Oh my gosh, if I could just get my buddies to do that. And that's kind of, you know, our goal here is, we're just out trying to inspire other people to do this, because we get so much joy and fun out of it. And every person that we come in contact with is like, well, I want to buy a cart. I want to join your league. And we've actually kind of had to put a cap on it, because we probably got 30 more people that would want to join us because they see the fun that we're having.
Well, Trisha's definitely got the bug, because that's all she's been talking about all week.
No, like, I'm so excited. I want to experience. So going back to your track, Curtis, so is that where it all began? And do you guys have multiple tracks, like, in the area? Or where do you guys usually race?
Yeah, so I live on 5 acres, and it's kind of open pasture land, and it was a baseball field. So when COVID happened, we shut down pretty hard in Oregon, and I had kids that played baseball, and, you know, I said, hey, if Kevin Costner can do it, we can build it, you know? So we built a baseball field, and we ran that for 3 years. And then the kids kind of moved on from baseball. They're doing other sports. So I said, you know, what are we going to do with this 3 acres here? Let's build a racetrack. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was started with me, and then it caught fire to a few more guys. This past week, we have three guys who we really don't know bought cars in hopes to be joined into the fold. Like, it's just become a thing.
They're ready.
It's just nuts.
It's crazy. I was literally at this harvest party. I was at a pumpkin patch, and I'm talking to this guy, this guy's wife, and she goes, "Oh, well, my husband just bought a go-kart." And I was like, "Well, okay, talk to me about it." So I'm talking to him. He goes, "Yeah, I'm going to be joining this league that just started. We raced in this guy's backyard." I was like, "Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. What's your name again?"
Yeah, so it's become this kind of this secret society, if you will. And we've been trying to keep a tight nip on it because it's kind of growing a little bit too fast. We want it to be more organic. Mm-hmm. But the people who come out and participate, they just like, this is amazing. We do a big bonfire. We got some cold snacks going. We got some tunes out there, and we race usually to midnight or until my wife starts flicking the outdoor lights. Hey, this is too late. You need to knock it off. And then there's another guy that I've gotten to know the past 3 months, who's just been a wonderful, wonderful friend. Danny built a track. And so we have two main tracks, and there looks as though there may be a third, but at this point, that's what we're looking at.
Wow, that's awesome. So the group itself and the members, are you guys mostly friends and then you let, and then some people joined after knowing about the league? And then like, how big are you guys now?
Okay, so yeah, I would say this started off as kind of a local group of friends. And I would say, you know, Curtis is the kingpin of this, right? We call him the commissioner. And so, you know, he was the one that kind of welcomed us all into his home. He's got an amazing shop where a lot of us do work on the cars there. We call them pit nights, where we get together and we hang out and we just weld and grind and fix engines and complain about our cars and order on Amazon. You know, we have a great time. And so, you know, I don't want to sound crass here, but I'll tell you, one of the rules of our league is no douchebags, right? So it's got to be a tight-knit, good group of people. We don't want people out there that are jerks. We want to have fun. We want to have an enjoyable time. And so the people that we're inviting in, you know, there's a relationship there, right? We know someone can vouch for this person. And we know that if you're a good dude and you're hanging out with us, then you know, we'll trust your instincts on the person you're vouching to come in.
So hopping back to the tracks, you mentioned that these tracks are mostly flat, I guess, with no jump. Or are they mostly flat? You mentioned no jumps, but so there's a few tree roots and stuff like that in the way. Are they mostly a flat track, or do they have some little hills and things? Or
yeah, so my land is flat. It's pasture. It's probably 7-8 turns. It's probably about an acre big. You know, it's fun because in the wet months, you're sliding around every corner. And then the dry months, you're trying to pick the dust out of your eyeballs, right? So it's a lot different experience based upon the weather. There's another guy in the group, Danny. Danny has more of a terrain track. I would say it's about the same size, about an acre. And it's got some incline and decline. And, you know, I mean, you're flying into these turns. And like, I just rebuilt one of my cars this week because you roll and it's a bad deal, right? I mean, Flamer looks like a Coors Light can, right? Because you're going down Danny's hill into a hairpin turn, all that momentum just drives the roll cage into the ground and it crumples. So yeah, the tracks are about the same size. One of them has more terrain. Mine is just totally flat.
I'd say Danny's track probably has, I'm going to say 30 to 40 feet of elevation change in it. I'm going to say maybe closer to 30. And so like Curtis said, that makes for a really dramatic downhill descent. And then what's interesting is it's kind of where the build of the cars comes in on the uphill, because you can tell who's got a tuned motor and who doesn't. Because the guys that, you know, maybe didn't clean their air filters well enough, maybe didn't adjust the carburetors, they're struggling to go uphill. And the guys that have their rigs dialed, they're flying up the hill.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. These things are direct drive, right? Like there's no transmission. It's basically sprocket to sprocket with a chain kind of idea.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Did That's kind of what I thought.
We do use a torque converter, which, you know, a little bit of a pulley system to help. Sometimes the centrifuge clutches, those can't handle the speed and the torque that we usually drive at.
Right. Right. Definitely interesting and fun thing. I love the fact that it's somewhat inexpensive builds and just go out and have some fun with some friends. So if, say, somebody up in Canada that wanted to start doing a little bit of this with some of their Canadian friends, what advice would you give to these guys when they're looking for a machine to start with?
Get on Facebook Marketplace or whatever you guys have there, Craigslist. They're hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do find them, you're not dealing with the upper crust of society, right? You're going to show up to some dude's house that's kind of shady at times. You're like, and I think I bought a car from someone who actually didn't own it, and it wasn't his garage that I bought it from. Like, that's the kind of stories you're going to have. But when you find them, you got to find them quick, because they go quick. CartFab, I'll give another plug, is plans that you can buy. That's what I did with my first one. So you can buy one on CartFab. You want to go extend it. And then I designed my own roll cage on that. You know, there's Murray's, there's Manco's, there's Yerf Dogs. There's all kinds of varieties, but you're going to need to know how to weld. And you got to know that if you want to start this, it's never going to be complete. Like, you're always going to be in a state, and you know this, Wes, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're always in a state of something's breaking, right? I mean, there's a buddy down the road that is like, oh, I got rid of mine because it kept breaking. Yep. That's what they do.
Sounds like a Jeep, eh, Trisha?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Jeep.
Yeah. It's the just empty every pocket, right?
So anyway, if anyone who wants to start, just know that you're never going to be just racing.
Yeah.
It's build it, race it, break it, repeat. You're somewhere in that equation.
But I think too, Curtis.
And then I would echo Emil, just don't do it. Rule number one, kind of like Fight Club. Rule number one of testosterone racing league, don't be a douche, right?
Yeah.
Hang around dudes to where it's not really about racing. It's about getting together with a brotherhood.
Exactly.
It's about being, you know, telling jokes, making fun of each other, having some great laughs. That's what it's about. It's experiencing life with gasoline and motors.
And we have a text chain that is maybe one of the most enjoyable parts of my day, that as we're texting each other carts that are for sale and, you know, jokes about how our friend Brad has never met a hay bale that he doesn't like to run into and, you know, things like that. It's just, it really a sense of camaraderie, which is awesome. You know, I enjoy hanging out and building the carts as much as I do the racing, you know, and to be honest, most of us are in our late 30s, mid 40s. And so, you know, our opportunities for adrenaline and excitement, you know, we got to pick and choose those as we're living our lives and trying to divide our times between our careers, our kids, our wives. And so I think that's what gives this league so much fun and purpose, is that when we get together, it's just awesomeness.
I agree 100% with you. I think some of my best memories are hanging out in the garage with the guys, right? Just shooting the shit and, you know, bashing each other and having laughs, and just that's some of my best memories, you know, to date, right? And even some memories of working on vehicles with my dad in the garage and just having that bond as, you know, in the garage. But that's, yeah, some of my favorite memories are sitting in the garage with the guys working. So,
yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's really the thing, is that like anything in life, you need family buy-in. And so it's a lot easier to float this idea. Hey, I've got this go-kart that I found online for $500. I'm thinking about picking it up, you know? Now, of course, when you find out you're spending $200 to $300 every month to fix stuff that you break on it, that's a different story. But we don't lead with that, right? We lead with it's an inexpensive car.
That sounds like a Jeep.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm bucking Trisha about her Jeep, because her Jeep is down right now for the last, what?
3 weeks.
Yeah. So as a Toyota boy, I'm getting my
Okay. That's fair.
Boy.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So So what you guys are both, you know, there's a lot of you guys into this is, do you guys off-road in other kinds of vehicles as well too? Or is this pretty much your dirt fun?
Our group, we do have some guys that have some pretty extensive off-roading experience. One of the guys, Danny, that we were telling you about, and Sam, these guys are tremendous off-roaders. We have a couple guys in our group that have raced at the Mint 400, King of the Hammer, you know, does some pretty extensive stuff. You know, we've got another person in our group that does something really cool. His name's Tate Morgan, and he puts on an event called the Gambler 500. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's, so Tate's one of our boys. And so that's a huge off-roading public land cleanup effort with his group and the Sons of Smokey. So, you know, there's a lot of additional off-roading going on, but not often can you squeeze that in a 2-hour window on a Thursday night.
True.
Exactly. Yeah, they just had the BC Gambler up here last weekend, I think, or weekend before. So it's gotten quite popular as well. We've actually got quite a few BC guys going down to the one down south. Yeah. So the big ones.
Yeah, so we actually raced at that. So they have an event that they call Hill Track, was a 2-hour enduro race. So that was an event that I did in my kart that had no suspension, which I really regret. But it was a 2-hour race where you swap out drivers every 5 laps. And in that, you're running, it probably takes a minute and a half to do this lap that we did. There were probably 20 carts that were out there. And there was 2 divisions. There was kind of a Coleman cart division. And then there was what they call the Outlaw Dad cart, which is, you know, kind of what we raced. And it was awesome. It was about 100 degrees that day. The track was as dusty as farmland in summer. And I'll say this, it was a battle of attrition, right? It was not how many laps you could get in, but who was left standing. Our last lap, it took me 10 minutes to finish that last lap because our carburetor was so full of dust. But we kept moving. So it was a great race. And so, you know, if you get one of these carts, there's lots of opportunities to do things. You just got to find the right places.
So what does your normal race night look like? Do you guys do heat races, and how long are your races usually for?
All right. So usually it's Thursday nights, or weather permitting, or whoever doesn't have a sporting event or family activity, right? I mean, not all that stuff comes first. And again, this is the appeal about what we're doing. This is ancillary fun that fits in around life. So we put out the text chain, hey, does Thursday night work? Okay, let's do it. Show up around 7:30. You start with some cold snacks. You get the popcorn maker going. We're hanging out in the shop. We're kicking tires, right? And then we're making fun of people who, you know, who run into hay bales or whatever. And then eventually we go back to the track, you know, 45 minutes later, we start racing right around twilight. Ooh. And we go 5 laps. Heats, usually it's an acre track, and 2 of my cars don't have suspension, so you want to brake. Like after 5 laps, you're trying to get less vibration in your hands. So anyway, we do 5 laps, and then we have this dude JJ, who's our bracketeer. I mean, he puts it into like March Madness type of brackets, and then there's play-ins and yada yada yada.
Wow.
And then the main is usually 7 laps, and it's pandemonium. Like, it's pandemonium. I mean, it is white knuckles. Somebody's flipping. Somebody's rolling. Somebody's car is going to get turned into an aluminum can. It is awesome.
And,
and we have a trophy.
Okay.
We have a trophy that we welded with some gears and an old spring from an old Mustang and a piston off of a B-52 bomber, right? It's this really cool trophy. So then in the main event for 7 laps, whoever wins gets to put their name on the trophy. And it's usually midnight when we either A, run out of beer, B, the bonfire needs wood, or C, someone wins the heat.
Probably the most expensive part of this is the hay bales. I know what hay goes for these days.
It's a necessary thing. What Curtis isn't mentioning is that there's one part of his track that if you don't hit the hay bales, you're going to end up about in a 10-foot deep creek that sometimes is filled with water, sometimes is not. So it's imperative that you hit those hay bales hard and that they stop you.
So most of these guys, are these guys your guys' age, or are you mentioned your kids earlier? Are your kids involved in that as well too? Or
yeah, I mean, we're just a bunch of middle-aged men, right? That just a bunch of has-beens. But we are awesome on go-karts. So yeah, it's just a bunch of us. Middle 40-year-old guys. When you look at our resumes, it's pretty impressive, right? I mean, the Gambler 500 was founded in our town, West Lynn, Oregon. Tate's a part of the group. We got three guys that have run Baja. We got a dude that can fabricate anything. But we're all just doing kid go-karts. So yeah. I mean, sometimes we let the kids run, you know, but they're, Emil, it seems like they're really not interested. They kind of like, that's our.
Yeah, I think because to them, you know, and who knows what they're doing in their cars when we send them off to school, right? So they're probably like, this is so stupid. Like, you know, they're doing cookies in the intersections. My son's got an FJ Cruiser. And the other day it came home all muddy. I didn't even want to ask where he went because he just told me he went to the store. So it's like.
The long way to the store. Yeah, I've done that myself too. But yeah, no, it, you know, for, you know, a middle-aged group of guys, and yeah, I totally get it, right? So, I mean, I'm past middle age, but I'll be honest with you. Some of the most fun I've had is on some of the least expensive things. You know, I've raced some of the bigger races and that, and I really like the camaraderie you guys got. And you know, to our listeners, you guys got to check out the Instagram videos at Testosterone Racing League on Instagram. That's where you can see what we're talking about and how much fun these guys are having, right? So, you know, the flips, the, you know, side by side, and it's just so much action packed into one. It almost reminds me of lawnmower racing.
Yeah.
Kind of idea, right?
Very so much.
You know, remember when lawnmower racing came on board, and, you know, to our local fair, and we're like, what the heck's this, right? In the first year, it was just a couple of people, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's 30 people doing it, and everybody's having so much fun, and they're hanging out in the pits after and before, and this is the whole camaraderie of it, right? So lawnmower racing can get quite expensive, so I love the guys here sticking to your roots on this, right?
I was just going to say that, you know, racing is racing, right? So whether you're in a multi-million dollar F1 car, nobody likes getting passed, right? And when two cars go into a corner, you're like, I'll be damned if I'm going to let this guy get past me. And so, you know, at 150 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour, there's still that same sense of passion and aggression where you're like, I'm not going to let this person get past me. And so, you know, you hop out of that car and you're like, man, that was a battle. That felt good.
Yeah.
Yep. And a lot of times it's a fist bump and a hug after, always. Right? Because it was such a fun race.
Always. We're getting out, we're laughing, yes. We're slapping each other's backs, laughing at, you know, you know, oh man, I can't believe I pulled that move on you, or you cut me off. That was such a sweet turn. I mean, it's great fun.
So I noticed on your videos, most of them, you guys run at night, but some of your carts have lights. And some of them have flags. So I know there's a guy that has like a Swift flag, and there's a couple of guys that have like lights going on. I'm like, okay, there's modifications. What's happening? So can you tell us like a little bit about those?
Yeah, I think that's what's cool about our group is we have a lot of character. We have a lot of personality. Yeah. Like as individuals, right? Emil is one of the more colorful guys you ever meet. I'm dry toast. But he makes up for that. So what's great about the character and the personality is they're reflective in the cars. So Emil made a literal DeLorean, Back to the Future, complete with the flux capacitor, right? We have Mason Nation, which is a patriotic Captain America type of car. We have Taylor Swift.
Yes.
We have Thin Mint, who is just green lights everywhere. What else do we have, Emil? We got
got the sheriff, which has police lights mounted to it.
We have the sheriff, yes. We have General Lee. We have the pink lady.
We've got a car that represents one of the guys I was telling you about who had done the King of the Hammers, huge Jeep guy. He decided to build his car as a replica of one of the old, what, CJ3As from MASH that they used in the TV show MASH. And so his car is army green. It's a replica of that. He's got a white star on the front of it. You know, like Curtis said, these cars, they're meant to be characters themselves. So, you know, you're saying, hey, I'm going to hop in Out of Time, which is the name of my car, or I'm going to hop in, you know, we have Herbie the Love Bug. You know, we've got Knight Rider, Frankenkart, all these carts that have these really great themes, and it gives you the opportunity to just customize them and make them unique.
Do you guys ever hop in other people's cars?
Yeah. Like, so when we started, it was only my four cars. So what we would do is we would draw, and then you'd determine on what one of the cars you're in, and then you draw for position. Well, we kind of ditched that because now everyone's getting their own cars and I'm getting tired of everyone breaking my stuff, right? So I do invite some buddies without cars and they can race mine. But by and large, everyone races their own car. But we still do the draw for pole position or third back or right rear. So that kind of mixes it up. We compete. We're out there to race to have fun. But really, the fun for us is the giggles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, if I ever win, great, whatever. I don't care. But to hang out with my buddies, you know, that's the win in itself.
Definitely 100%. That couldn't have been said better for sure. So, but having said that, do you guys have points and stuff like that towards year end?
I was actually thinking about that today, Curtis, that, you know, as we start this new season, We might need a circuit. We might need a grand championship, some sort of additional cup that we race for. The league has been growing so fast that, you know, guys have come in and some of them have only raced one race and others of us have raced seven or eight. So I think once we kind of cap things, we can put a little more order to it. But, you know, we don't want it to be too structured, right? Because then it starts to lose its fun. So right now, I mean, to be honest, there's only been we only have three different champions. So we've had like six races and only three guys have won. So, you know, you can tell who's got the skill in terms of driving and fabrication. And then there's the rest of us.
Yeah. Since we started the trophy idea, right. We need, yeah, there's three guys that are keep winning, but you know what? We're going to sweep the lay. We're going to take them out, maybe put some sugar in their tank, make things interesting. But I think, Wes, to answer your question, what's tricky about that, we were contacted by a production company and we're going to race at a monster truck rally in October. And then we're going to another monster truck event as a sideshow.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, you know, again, to us, it's about fun. I think the points idea has some legs. But we do all these events and which one's official, which one's not.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get some pictures of the carts beside the monster trucks.
Yeah.
No, that's great. When we were approached about that, it was funny. The guy was talking to us and he, you know, he made the offer and I told Curtis and Curtis is like, wait, they want to pay us to be part of that?
How cool is that?
Like, how much do we have to pay to enter? Wait, they want to pay us? That's awesome.
But it goes back to that whole thing, like watching the lawnmower races, right? People love that everybody's running close together. Everybody's having fun and stuff like that. So from a crowd standpoint, I think the crowd will love it.
And then we do. Absolutely. I mean, we get in tight and it's open wheel racing. So when the front gets in front of someone's rear, someone's flipping. I think Emil coined it the best. He goes, you know, when we're racing, there's intimate moments of rubbing. That's what he said. And I'm like, I couldn't said it any better. Emil, he's got away with words. He's got away with words.
Yeah.
And that is a different channel. So on that note, Trisha had noticed that you had a ladies' night one night.
Yeah. I was going through and I'm like, wait.
We have a segment called the Estrogen Racing League. That was that night.
That's perfect.
Awesome. What was fun about that was that was an idea that I had floated to Curtis and I said, hey, what do you think the likelihood of us getting our wives out in these carts were? And he said, yeah. Emil, less than zero. And so we were having a Labor Day barbecue, and, you know, the ladies must have been in just the right mood. There might have been enough wine in the cups to where someone floated this idea.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you girls want to take a lap? And I think my favorite moment from that is, so I have a yellow racing suit that I wear, and our friend Scotty, his wife Phyllis, decided that she was going to get in. So she had to take her high heels off to get into my racing suit. She's putting it on over her blouse. I mean, because she didn't want to get dirty. It was awesome. And they went out and they took laps, and, you know, they weren't full throttle, but what it did is, and Curtis, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it gave us some a little funds in the war chest, right? They said, oh, I see why you like this so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't full throttle, but they were barely in gear. That's that's how fast they were going, Trish. That's how fast they were going.
I'm full
Trish, throttle. If you were out there, you'd be rallying. I know it.
I'd be round. No, I'm like taking those corners. I'm flipping you over. Like, I'm out of my way. I love go-karting myself, like just going go-karting here, and I'm very competitive. So, yeah.
You can come race with us anytime, Trish.
All right. I'm coming down to Oregon. I'm bringing the Jeep.
If the Jeep ever gets out of the garage.
Yeah.
I know how much it hurts right now. So speaking of Jeeps, Emil, I hear you've got a little CGA8.
I do. Yeah. I've got an 82 Jeep Scrambler. And that was I picked that up during COVID. I drove out to Boise, Idaho to find that. Jeeps have been a big part of my life. I had a 89 XJ that I went to school in Utah. I took that with me. So I took it down to Moab and spent some time down there with that. And then I actually didn't know what the Scrambler was, but I was in a fraternity in college. One of my roommates or one of my fraternity brothers, he had one. And I remember seeing it and I was like, what in the world is that stretched out Jeep? And from that point on, it became a bucket list thing of mine that someday I was going to get one. And so when COVID happened, my oldest son and I took a road trip out to middle of Idaho and picked up this CJ8 and brought it back. And we added three rows of seats in it, have restored it with a lot of hard to find original parts, have taken it out on some fun trails around here. You know, we've got the Barlow Trail, we've got Brown's Camp, places like that, taking it out to the Oregon Dunes. So there's a lot of great things that you can do out here with an off-road vehicle.
All right.
Yeah, definitely. The Oregon Dunes. You'd love that, Tricia.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, definitely. I went down to the Oregon Dunes once for one of the Bronco runs that they had down North Pacific Northwest Broncos. And you get 60 or so first generation Broncos down there. And it was a blast, an absolute blast on there.
We got a guy that just joined our league who's got two first gen Broncos that he takes down to that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is going back years ago, probably at least 20 years ago, when I could afford a first generation Bronco.
You gotta put an extra zero after the price now.
Oh yeah, they're brutal that way. So, but hopping back to the go-karts, Testosterone Racing League on Instagram, you guys got to check out some of these videos, and gals I should say too, but some of these videos these guys are putting out, and just way too much fun you guys are having. And it's something that I know our listeners would love to do as well. And so basically, like you said, just keep an eye out on Facebook, and Kijiji is one of the things up here in Canada, or Craigslist is in some of the cities as well too, and go from there.
I would throw out there that if anybody is interested or has questions, just send us a DM on Instagram. We answer a lot of people's questions about, like, hey, what kind of carts do you use? You know, what do you think of this setup? We got a lot of people that'll send us, hey, I'm looking to buy this cart, what do you think? So we're happy to help and offer any of the knowledge that we've acquired to this. Happy to share that with anyone.
Beautiful. That's what I was just going to ask as well, too.
The last question we ask all our guests who come and talk with us is, who would you like to hear on the 4x4 Canada podcast?
Well, I'm going to put a plug in again for our homie, Tate Morgan, from the Gambler 500. I think Tate could come on here and share some really cool stories. He's got a great connection to Ford and the release of the Bronco, or as he likes to call it, the Ford Explorer 4. So, you know, Tate could tell you stories for days about the life that he lived in the off-road community. I think you'd really enjoy chatting with him.
I think I've listened to him on another podcast recently, and he sounds like a character as well. Not just, you know, involvement with the gambler and all that, but he sounds like a really fun character as well. So,
yeah, I mean, this was my takeaway from when I attended the gambler. I thought these people are either going to cause the end of the world or they're the people you want to know at the end of the world. And that's kind of the circle Tate runs in. And I think it's kind of awesome.
Once again, we're talking to Curtis and Emil from Testosterone Racing League. Check them out on Instagram. All kinds of great videos. And Emil mentioned earlier, if you have any questions about this off-road racing go-kart stuff, give them a shout and they'll happily answer any of your questions, even though you are Canadian. And we'll go from there. Once again, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you coming on board tonight. It was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and I'm looking forward to Trisha getting her own off-road go-kart.
Appreciate it. That was fun.
Yep. Thank you.
Beautiful. So.
Hey, thanks a lot, Wes and Trisha. This was awesome.
Thank you.